This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Now, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the Law Offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause.
Special edition of The Labor Show, J-Doc, as we come out of Penn State football and we welcome everyone in right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're going to begin and spend the entire hour, the opening hour of our two-hour show, J-Doc. Brian Fritz is our special guest. If you missed any of the news on Thursday into Friday, if you listen to Brian Fritz on the Rich Zeoli show on Friday morning, Brian is taking the lead on behalf of all of the restaurants in the city. And Brian, let me start and come to you and tee you up and let you set the table for the listening audience.
Thanks, Joe. We have started a lawsuit against the city on behalf of a group of restaurateurs as well as restaurant workers based on the violation of their constitutional rights, in our opinion. And as a result, we've also petitioned the court for an emergency injunction to stay the pending lockdown for the restaurant industry, at least for a minimum amount of time, for the city to provide us with the information it's relying upon to justify what they're about to do to this industry and the people involved.
When you say, and J-Doc and I talked about this a little bit on our way to your office, when you say what they're about to do, tell the listening audience what that means.
They're about to do, essentially that means there's two people now making decisions on behalf of the city, as far as we can tell. That's Mayor Kenney and Dr. Tom Farley, the head of the Department of Health of the city. City Council has been bypassed. They've been neutralized. It began with the beginning of the COVID epidemic under the guise of safety and the need for emergency actions. And now, 9 months later that we're into it, and plenty of time to have hearings, plenty of time to engage in foresight, plenty of time to come up with a plan, plenty of time to monitor places that you initially had a theory of being risky, and make a determination, one, if the restrictions were working, and two, if in fact your theory was correct or incorrect, and how you may be able to pursue a less restrictive means versus a complete lockdown. All those things have not been done over the course of the past 9 months, and this industry that we're speaking about was more or less placed on the endangered species list by the initial shutdown that, if we all recall, was asking us to be patient for 2 weeks. Then after that, it went to 4 weeks. Then after that, it went to another 4 weeks. And then there was a gradual reopening of the restaurants to a reduced capacity, which they're still at now. We've seen many closures along the way. The ones that remained open are trying to tough it out. And I'm sure there was always the thought that there would be a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the city has told them that that light is that of an oncoming train.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Brian, it's great to have you here. Joe Krause, you know, when we're in the room with Brian Fritz, something's going on in the city of Philadelphia. We had the big broadcast in regards to the safe injection sites. Brian was in the middle of that, representing the community. We had him on the show not long ago talking about the legislation and the situation with this very situation with the governor. And the constitutionality of that, the decision from that point. Were any of the, first of all, I'm from the hospitality industry, as you know, so it's near and dear to me. It's breaking my heart, no question. Have you or any of the restaurant owners or nightclub owners or lounge owners been given any particular evidence in regards to why they have to close rather than or be taken down to the minimum type of setup rather than maintain you know, standards with masks and safe and distancing?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because the only thing that we've received is what we heard last night on the news when Dr. Farley was being interviewed on Fox News, I believe, and he had stated that he had ample evidence. What evidence that is, I don't know, and certainly we don't know, because this hasn't been subject to any sort of level of traditional due process or the normal testing that happens through the process of city governance. So we don't have that ample evidence, but he says that exists. But what he did allude to was a CDC study that he claimed supported his position, his statistical position, that you're twice as likely to get COVID from a restaurant than something else. Well, we looked for that CDC study, and the only thing we found with regard to the CDC and review of restaurants was what I just handed you guys. And this actually is alarming, because this study actually reviews 300 people that came out of 11 medical facilities through 11 states. And let me read them to you and see if you recognize any, because I don't. Bay State Medical Center, Springfield, Massachusetts. Beth Israel, Boston, Massachusetts. University of Colorado School of Medicine, Aurora, Colorado. Hennepin County Medical Center, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Intermountain Healthcare, Salt Lake City, Utah. Ohio State University, Werner Medical Center, Columbus, Ohio. Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Vanderbilt University Medical Center, Nashville, Tennessee. Johns Hopkins Hospital, I did hear that one. Baltimore, Maryland. Stanford University Medical Center, Palo Alto, California. And then the California University of Washington Medical Center in Seattle. So out of those 300 and some people from those 11 facilities across 11 states, none of which, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, New York, or Philadelphia. Out of those 300 and some people in this study, 128 who were tested positive with COVID. This is what's called contact tracing. They ask you, where else had you been? What are the contacts have you had? Mm-hmm. All right, that's what contact tracing is. So out of these 121 people, or 28 people, they asked, where have you been the past 14 days before your diagnosis? And because they had said either a restaurant or a bar coffee shop, this is the basis for the present shutdown. This is the only information we have from the city that supports the present shutdown. 128 people in states far away from here that had said that they had visited a restaurant amongst other places and been around other people 14 days prior to the diagnosis. And conversely, the CDC also published additional guidelines this week on the 18th. It says, considerations for restaurant, bar, and bar operators. Publication date, November 18th, 2020. You go through this, and it talks about maintaining healthy operations. Nowhere in these guidelines or recommendations is there anything about a lockdown. So you want to rely upon the CDC, even if you incorrectly do it. Well, how come you're not relying upon them the other way, too?
If you own a restaurant in the Delaware Valley, in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, in the state of New Jersey, the state of Delaware, New York, if you're in the restaurant industry, J-Doc, you have to feel as if Mayor Kenny and the city of Philadelphia, at least specifically here, they're gunning for you. When I hear that, when I hear the facts and the science, I don't hear anything that supports the action.
Well, to me, it's a broad stroke. You know, there's no scientific method here. You know, it seems to me like, you know, they got in a room. Even with Brian, the last show we had, we talked about the essential workers and non-essential workers and who and what process determined which was which. Right now, these people are suffering like there's no tomorrow. The industry is about to be absolutely devastated. This is, you know, it's the second time around. Lives are on the line. And there has to be more of a scientific process here. There has to be some kind of a leadership group here that's comprised of medical professionals, science professionals, and there has to be a process for where we don't have to destroy our hospitality industry in order to move forward and impact the virus.
There is something called that. It's called city government, and that's what we normally follow with the involvement of city council, with the matter of public hearings. If we all remember, this is sort of the second dance with this type of stuff with this administration. If we all remember the safe injection sites,
yeah,
and how that was tried to be force fed into the South Philadelphia neighborhoods without any city council input, without any due process, a public hearing, or any public input. Well, we have the same thing going on here. This one is just packaged under the guise of, well, this is for public safety. Well, it's for public safety in March. You've had 9 months. Suddenly we now relax or get rid of all the constitutional rights of everybody and all the purpose of elected officials in city council and everything else because of public safety. Is it perpetually now a forfeit of that, or was it only supposed to be temporary to address an immediate need?
Well, you mentioned due process, okay? It seems like that situation is going around a lot these days, people not getting their due process. Now we have an industry not getting their due process. You get in, this also, in my opinion, is, you know, it also rolls over into the areas of the, you know, the what do you call it, the, when we have to stay in at night. In other words, we get the notice that we have to stay in it at 9 o'clock, that there's a curfew for our city of Philadelphia. We're Americans. Americans are never going to sit down for something like this. Don't get me wrong. We're not taking the virus lightly, and obviously there's a major spike in it. But due process is still required. You cannot just come in and broad stroke anything or anyone and potentially cause havoc, reap havoc on an industry without giving somebody else their say.
So, and what the important thing here, because there's such passion on our part and part of the restaurant, it'd be very easy for folks that are on the fence or just trying to view things objectively to think that there's some sort of harsh view or a lack of empathy or a lack of concern over the virus. It's not that at all. We appreciate the fact. We appreciate people's concerns. We appreciate them wanting to be safe and us keeping them safe and keeping ourselves safe. Everybody is on the same page with that. What we want to know is, well, how are you attributing anything regarding the virus to restaurants? If you've been monitoring for the past 9 months because you were so concerned about restaurants in March, what is the data you've collected to indicate whether or not the restrictions within the restaurants were working? What do you have data-wise to show whether or not there was one confirmed case of infection in Philadelphia related to a restaurant? Or is it, well, people may have been someplace?
Or the standards in different geographical areas. Maybe we're doing a great job here in Philadelphia and in Columbus, Ohio. Maybe the standards are different and they needed to be
adjusted. I go back to the list. The list of 11, and there was no relevance at all to here.
That's point number one. Geographically, too, and let's stick on that for a second. What makes Philadelphia restaurants so much more dangerous than restaurants in Montgomery County, Bucks County, Delaware County, Chester County? They're all remaining open. Okay? And where is the city able to suddenly put things in place that are much more restrictive than what the state has in place? And that's another question for another day. Right now, what we have in front of us, what we're trying to address, is the looming 5 o'clock on Friday lockdown that's about to befall this restaurant industry.
Take a quick break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brian Fritz is the lead attorney, Fritz being Cooley. When we come back after the break, we'll continue the dialogue. We'll get deeper into the conversation. We'll meet a restaurateur and owner of one of the restaurants here in Philadelphia that is on the edge of the seat as we go to the break. So we'll hear from him back in a moment.
portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Plumbers Local 690, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, Iron Workers Local 401, and SEIU Local 32BJ District 1201. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
Back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, it's a special edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Brian Fritz is in the lead chair for us this evening, our opening hour of the two-hour show, and we're going to bring into the conversation a restaurant owner who is now going to give some real perspective outside of the attorney Brian Fritz, outside of J-Doc, outside of Joe Krause. Steve, let me bring you in. And first, as you would do if we were dining in your restaurant and you were introducing yourself, let me give you the microphone and give you a chance just to tell the listening audience who you are, the name of your restaurant, and just a short history on, about you.
Thank you for having me, first and foremost. My name is Steve Vasiliadis. I've been a restaurateur here in the city for nearly 30 years. The place that I have now is called Bodega. I opened it this January, January 9th of 2020. So it's been a very, very tough year for me. Just as I opened up within 2 months, I was asked to close down due to COVID. So here I am now facing the same consequences again.
Where's the restaurant, Steve?
It's at 1223 Walnut Street in Center City, Philly.
And if you would give us an idea of, you know, what you've put into the restaurant and you know, how much of your life you put in.
What can I tell you? Aside from all the work that I put into it, all the sweat that I put into it, the money... You know, it's not easy opening up a restaurant, especially if it's a brand new restaurant with everything new, new equipment. I put basically my whole life savings into it.
Brian, it's amazing to hear that and to put it in perspective. And I know, J-Doc, that you can relate to everything that Steve is
saying. I'm thinking about the zoning. I'm thinking about the architect. All those things, especially at where's it at? At 12th and
12th and Walnut.
Okay, 12th and Walnut. Prime real estate. How many square feet?
It's about 900 square feet.
Okay, I mean you're talking. That's a big deal. Liquor license or no liquor license?
With a liquor license.
Okay.
Add that into the mix.
Okay, I mean you're talking. You know, unprecedented types of investment in there. Not to mention, you know, his entire you know existence. I can't even imagine what he's going through.
Brian, pick up the story from there. I mean, where are you with what you've filed and what you expect or what you hope will occur?
So we, after filing the actual complaint, we filed an emergency motion for a temporary restraining order, an injunction to, I may have mentioned this earlier, to basically suspend the imposition of the new shutdown. At least until we find out what the city has been relying upon at a minimum to see whether these things are justified. Certainly, based upon what we've claimed underneath due process claims, the city has not followed that. Equal protection, it has not met those, in our opinion. And then also, you know, the potential for what's called a takings or violation of the taking clause, where a government follows some course of action that... takes away or severely limits somebody's property rights or other rights.
Steve, who owns your property?
I do.
You own the property?
Yes, I bought it many years ago.
Okay, thank God, because in a lot of cases, you know as well as I do, a lot of people lease, okay? Well, but still...
I still have a mortgage.
You still have a mortgage.
I still have
a mortgage. I'm trying to understand this from a legal standpoint. Is it clear to believe that the mayor of this city has decided personally to impose this process
without any other involvement from city council, which I'm assuming he's supposed to secure, and in turn, Steve and all of the restaurants that are part of this suit are supposed to comply?
That's the way that this has been set up, yes. And this, the mayor, through his the head of the Department of Health, the Department of Health has issued these directives. We have not seen an official order come from the mayor's desk as we had in the past, which is a little different on this one. But the Department of Health, the city's Department of Health, has issued these, quote, very nice sounding safer at home standards, which will you captured everything. Other than that slight clarification, Joe, from everything we're seeing and everything we know, you captured it.
You know, when you think about the impact of something like this, obviously a lot of the client who you how many people are you representing?
So what we're doing is we have the
it's like a class action or something like a class action.
There's a grouping of restaurants underneath one representative company titled the Philadelphia Restaurant Owners Against Lockdown. That's who we're representing, and that's comprised of, you know, it's ever growing right now. We have probably at the start of this show, I lost track, actually. I'm not a ballpark. Probably about 30 restaurants now, and people have been calling all day. Some other people have called us that represent other groups to the tune of 250 other bar restaurant entities that want to join forces with us. There's a very nice young lady who maybe we'll be able to talk to later, who has started a petition to force or petition the mayor to bail out the restaurant workers. And there's about 2,000 to 2,500 members part of that petition that she ran, or she began. And, you know, bartenders, servers, waiters, those sorts of things.
Having said that, did the city at all, or the mayor and his health director, contact the establishments, the owners, the associations, to get any input? Because, Steve, I'm going to take a shot at this one, but I'm sure that you and the other restaurateurs would be willing to sit down with the authorities and work out any standards possible to ensure the safety of the people coming in. And
they've already done that. They've already done that. Going back to the original process, they've, in order to do it, they already had to put in all these different requirements. Correct.
And I speak for every single restaurant in the city. Every single thing that they ask us to do, we have gone above and beyond. We take this very seriously. This is our livelihood. Antibacterial gels, there's a plethora of them everywhere in the restaurant. Cleanliness. I personally have somebody come at least twice a week, except every day, but twice a week, and does a hard clean, a thorough clean of every single thing.
A deep clean.
A deep clean,
yeah.
As you will.
Yeah.
Inside the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I pay them out of my pocket. Just so I'll be able to operate, so I don't get anybody in trouble, and just so I could be legal. And I just want to serve and open up my business.
Yeah, and I know one of the other areas, Brian, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but one of the other either suggestions, laws, rules, or what the restaurants were supposed to do from the first go-around was open up their, turn a 900-square-foot restaurant into a 450-foot-square restaurant by spacing out the number of tables that are in the restaurant for people to actually be able to dine inside.
That's correct. And initially it was at even a greater reduced capacity, I think of 25%. And then, so, you know, you have some of these places where the configurations and layouts are a little bit more unique and not necessarily a box, where the, you know, to reduce that size becomes even more challenging for them. They're doing it. But, you know, what everybody should really remember, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but having had spent some time in the restaurant industry and having friends in it, what I've learned is, you know, these are places that are fighting a constant battle, financial battle, with cost versus profit.
Sure.
With cyclical attendance.
Let's talk about the liquor tax. Yeah. You know, you talk about the sugar tax, all those things.
Right.
That for example, if you were in Bala Cynwyd, okay, and when you're a business person, 20% profit's awesome. That would be nice. That'd be, you know, you spend millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars putting your business together. If you look at realistic situations with employees and insurances, and not to mention utilities, cost of goods sold, food, you know, liquor, all those things, okay? Best case scenario, before liquor tax, before food tax, you know, before, you know, the soda tax. I mean, one of the things that makes me sick is that politicians have no idea how to run a business.
Finish your thought on that.
This I am, no.
No, I'm saying the tax, this, that, equals what?
It equals you can't profit. Right. They're turning people into criminals from day one. And I'm not talking about Steve. But if it's me, I'm going to work under the table, Johnny. Because guess what? I can't make money any other way.
Steve?
Yeah, it's very difficult. Exactly what Joe just said, between the soda tax, the liquor tax, the food tax. See, I don't know if the people running this city, and it could be just Kenny, it could be Kenny and a couple other people, it could be, I really don't think they know what they're really doing in terms of the magnitude of what he's proposing right now. I'm telling you, the city will be a ghost town. There's very few places, I'm not going to call them franchises, but...
Right, you need to have a national footprint in order to be able to make any money whatsoever, because a little teeny 3%, if you can get 2, 3% profit here in Philly, if you're getting it back in the other, you know, in 38 other states, okay, you can make it. But if you're, you know, like Steve's saying, you can't, you know, this... And by the way, Steve, for every action in life, I don't care what anybody's theory is, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You can do what you want, but you cannot avoid the consequences. And the actions that are being taken, you know, right now by politicians that have no idea about business, even though, you know, in many ways it's not. I know it's not malice that they're doing it out of. But at the same time, and it's a national. It's on a national. It's a whole landscape of the nation. You know, people like Steve and the heart and blood of this community are dying because of it.
Brian, last word before we go to the break. Steve, hold your thought till we come back on the other side. Brian?
What I was saying was that the whole thing, that most of these places, in terms of their survivability or profitability, because there's such a high failure rate without any interference of any other dynamics that we're currently seeing, that in order for these places to survive, they expect a lull in business from Monday to Friday. On Friday and Saturday, they need to flip the place at their capacity twice, meaning they have to have two full seatings in order to turn a profit. Now, all of a sudden, you have taken an enormous chunk of that, and most of these restaurateurs, even to have battled as long as they've had now, have probably depleted most of their savings, if not borrowed additional monies, friends, family, or other financial institutions, even to just exist right now.
Exactly.
Get to our break here, a second break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are going to attempt, coming back on the other side of the break, Brian, to bring in one more guest to give us the perspective. Who tell us who we're going to try and talk with coming up here on the other side of the break.
So we're trying to get on the phone Shannon Darcy. She has started this petition on behalf of restaurant workers.
Okay, very good. We'll get to a commercial break on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Iron Workers Local 405, and Steam Fitters Local 420. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, along with J-Doc M. Joe Krause, special edition of The Labor Show. We're with Brian Fritz, Fritz B. and Cooley. If you're a restaurant owner, if you own a lounge, if you own a club, if you own a bar, and you're in the city of Philadelphia, get in touch right now. Get in touch with Brian Fritz from Fritz and Bean Cooley, also joining us. Steve, nice to have you with us, and I appreciate, sir, your very honest and candid approach to the conversation. It's allowed me to visualize what you've put into your restaurant and what you're going through right now. And Brian, I'll let you pick it up from there.
Sure. Thank you, Joe. Shannon, I wanted to just really have everyone enlightened on what your perspective is and the perspective of other workers in the restaurant industry, not only what you've been through since March, but also what you anticipate the challenges being for you guys in the event that this lockdown goes into effect by the city.
First, I just want to say thank you for having me on and getting our message across to everyone that is listening in the city of Philadelphia. Throughout the pandemic, restaurants have been demonized and used as an easy excuse for politicians to pretend that they're doing the right thing. I just have some questions for the city in general and things that we've been following to a T. We've put in plexiglass barriers. We're wearing protective goggles. We're sanitizing high-touch surfaces regularly throughout the evening. It's been a real struggle, I think, for restaurant owners, and it's been scary for restaurant employees. We're on the front lines every day coming to work, supposed to put a smile on our face and act like everything's okay, when all of us are in the back of our mind wondering when the next lockdown will be, if they're going to close restaurants completely. There hasn't been any conversation in regards to relief for restaurants in general, let alone the employees. Most people have exhausted their unemployment at this point, or their unemployment will run out during the second wave lockdown that is supposed to go into effect until January 1st. I just want to know why we're paying city taxes and not receiving support from the city in return. There hasn't been any rent or eviction freeze for people put out of work by the mayor. I don't understand why we're continuing to release new restrictions without relief. We're enforcing restrictions on restaurants with no data behind it. Other states outside of Pennsylvania who are also in a lockdown have had the foresight to protect their citizens, and there is no plan from the city or the governor to protect any of us. One out of every 10 people in the city are food service workers, which is roughly about 80,000 citizens in Philadelphia alone.
Wow. That's a big number. I wonder if the listening audience realizes 80,000 people are being affected by a cavalier decision.
It's very scary, and I don't understand how we're 8 months into this pandemic with no plan. I don't understand why we don't have answers. I mean, we knew we were going to be in a lockdown at some point again, and if they didn't have a plan, I think it's completely foolish and it's completely irresponsible. It's dangerous for people that are in office to be making these decisions that are affecting everybody that has to pay bills. Shannon, I put my entire life on hold for the last 8 months. I was supposed to get married. I was supposed to buy a house. I haven't been able to do any of those things.
Shannon, talk about your coworkers and what everybody's going through emotionally, because you're right.
Emotionally, it's completely taxing, to say the least. I think people that are in this industry are prone to having mental illness, are prone to having drug problems, are prone to having problems with substances in general. There's been a recent outbreak in Philadelphia of cocaine that's laced with fentanyl, and there's been at least 15 restaurant employees that I know of that have overdosed in the last 2 weeks.
And you think it's directly in relation to, you know, the conditions of which, you know, and the things that everybody's gone through?
Yeah, I mean, it's exhausting to say the least. I mean, I can't express enough how much people we already needed relief before the lockdown. Businesses are not going to survive this. Employees are not going to survive this. There's people that have families, they have children, they can't provide for them. It's just dangerous to be making decisions like this without providing relief. I understand the cases are on the rise. I understand coronavirus is real. But I just think for people to realize that they're putting people's lives in danger by closing these restaurants and taking away indoor dining without providing relief for people. You can't enforce new restrictions without some kind of solution. And right now there is no solution for any of us.
And it's a, and I'll say this, you know, as a union member, you know, and we do, this is a labor show. This is going to be on, you know, this is on.
This is on, Jerry.
Right.
Not going to be on, this is on.
No, but I want them to know that this is a, we represent, we're a voice for labor and workers, not just union members, but Joe Krause, you know as well as I do. You say it all the time. You know, imagine a world without unions. Well, this is an entire community that doesn't have representation. Brian Fritz is standing up here and taking on this case, and that's a big deal because you got 80,000 people, not including the owners, that don't have a voice. And having said that, Steve, tell me what it's like at your house with your family, the fear that you're going through and that your family goes through on a daily basis.
There's not one day that I don't go home that my wife doesn't ask me how to go today. Did you find out anything new? She's stressed beyond belief. As a mother, as
how many kids?
Three kids. You know, she wants, and her job is to keep the house in order. And she's like mentally, she doesn't know if she's able to. She's
stressed out, man.
She's asked me a couple times, do you think maybe we should sell the house? And I'm not kidding you. You know, and I said, listen, we just have to hang in there. Things are going to change.
Brian, let me ask you before we say goodbye to Shannon, let me ask you to weigh in on some of what Shannon stated to the listening audience joining us on the program tonight. Is there a lifeline? I know that's where you are right now. Tell us it.
So with regard to all of this, what I've said to the restaurant owners and workers, you know, I can't guarantee how things are going to pan out in court. I mean, we're going to try.
What are you actually suing for? In other words, is there monetary possibilities here for all these people that are you're representing?
So looking down the line, I mean, you know, in the event that what happens is deemed unconstitutional and they're able to impose the lockdowns and they're later deemed unconstitutional and it turns to be a taking, well, then compensation can be discussed then. The first and foremost is that
opening things up.
We don't want to necessarily get to that point. I don't think anybody does want to get to that point. You know, it's just like becoming somebody, an injury victim. You know, do you really want to be that injury victim with the big lawsuit, or would you rather never be injured in the first place? I think most of these people don't want to be injured in the first place. And that's what we're first going to try to do, is prevent the injury. What Shannon was saying and some of the things, and I think her perspective is so important because of, one, she represents the restaurant workers, but also her voice represents a younger part of the population and the segment. And just the appreciation for understanding the dynamics
sure.
of what's going on is refreshing on one hand, that there's people actually paying attention of the younger generation with regard to this. But also, at the same time, it has to be daunting when you have these younger folks that are in the prime of their lives going through all the natural things that we usually look forward to in the course of life, like if you heard Shannon, about getting a house, getting married, moving on into her next chapter of her life, being put on hold by this. It has to reek of pessimism as to, well, how's life really supposed to work if things are so upended and we live in this bizarro world?
It's the Labor Show with Jadok and Krause, Brian Fritz, Fritz being Cooley. We're broadcasting here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Shannon, I'll give you the last word. Have about 35 seconds. And I'm appreciative of everything that you've said in terms of joining the program. I'll give you last word before we go to the break.
Okay, and thank you so much for having me on. If anyone's interested in signing or sharing my petition to make a difference, you can find it at change.org/bailout restaurants in Philly now. And my last remarks that I want to make are, there's been many analogies used about the restaurant industry and what's happening, and I made one myself in my petition. In our situation to the band on the Titanic, we're playing as the ship goes down. I have thought about this a lot and realized I'm wrong. Even the Titanic had life rafts and boats, and we don't have either.
Wow.
Shannon, what's your last name again?
Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y.
All right, Shannon Darcy joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Shannon, thank you so much for your honesty and for joining us here on the program.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, and I really hope that some of the decision makers in Philadelphia are listening.
You're in good hands with Brian Fritz. We'll take a commercial break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are brought to you by IBEW Local 98, DC 33, Local 1637, District 1199C, and News Guild 10. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And back here on The Labor Show, and Brian, let me come to you. You know, the conversation we were having in between the break, J-Doc always says, hey, the best conversation happens when we're not on the air, when we're talking in between the break. I think this entire conversation has been powerful. Some of what we just talked about in the break, Brian, let me hand it over to you.
Sure. And what we were mentioning is trying to capture the frustration that a lot of people are having, which is very, very obvious, and something you can really be empathetic about, is just how varying and how disparate these rules are being applied, not only to different industries, but even within the industry itself. If suddenly you have a restaurant that has the capability of now constructing out in the sidewalk a new outdoor, indoor eating area. Let me try to explain it better. You are now sitting out on what used to be a sidewalk that has plexiglass and an enclosed roof and heating and ductwork, okay? But you're now out in the sidewalk, okay? It's enclosed, it's inside.
That's central heating.
Yeah.
Ductwork.
So basically, it's like being indoors, right?
Right.
And that's actually going on right now?
Correct, and that's right okay. But all these other folks that don't have the resources to do anywhere near that, they're toast. They can't do it. So it's just like...
How wacky is that, man?
Yeah, so you're basically taking the inside, putting it outside, and that's okay.
I mean, and think about it. This is about a virus. So the obstacle...
I don't think Mayor Kenney knows what the hell he's doing. I'm sorry. I mean, to sit and listen to this and listen to Shannon and hear Steve and try and understand all of this and make sense of it, doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry.
These are smart people. I mean, common sense, you're just looking at it and you're going... And the first thing you think of is, there's something wrong with this picture. Somebody didn't work hard enough. You can't broad stroke this. The due process was not given to these individuals. And Steve, how does that make you feel when you see some big dog around the corner, who can afford building an outside structure, which by the way is probably just as dangerous if you're looking at transmitting the virus as being inside, yet they can open and you can't.
I'm very frustrated because I also have a family. I also have a family to feed. So when I see this, in many ways, I'm despair. I have a lot of disparity. Like, I can't do this because where I'm at, I can't build on Walnut Street. Yet they can do that. I can tell you, since this morning, my phone, as I'm talking to you right now, my phone is on silent and it's blowing up. People are calling me. Did Brian do anything? Did Brian do anything? He's trying everything. He's trying nonstop today, nonstop.
Brian, how long? First of all,
last word for Brian Fritz. 2 minutes.
Joe Krause.
And I know that's a lot of pressure, and I don't mean that, Brian, but my phone's been blown up.
These people are starving for representation. Brian, how long do you think this is going to take to get some movement here?
So we have the understanding that either the judge may decide our motion on the papers by the end of today, or at least schedule a hearing by the end of today for sometime early next week. So we should have some idea of what the next steps are one way or another by the end of today.
Holidays are coming. Is there hope there?
Well, the one thing that I would, and hopefully I'm not going over...
That's okay. You got a minute and a half.
It's for anybody who's listening to this and thinks like, okay, wow, I just heard about this guy Steve on the radio, and I heard about him and his family and his restaurant. I'm glad I'm not Steve. I feel badly for him. I'm going to bed, but that's a restaurant's problem. I don't own a restaurant. Well, guess what? These provisions, part of these provisions that we're not talking about in this show right now, are restrictions on gatherings in homes. So we're taking the next steps here. To now, underneath the guise of public safety, we're now taking it broad, much more broadly, from just restaurants to now people's homes. So, you know, nobody necessarily should feel so safe as to whether or not these restrictions and what the trend may become may not touch them.
It can happen to anybody, in other words.
Steve, last time for the audience, give the listening audience your full name, the name of your restaurant. I'll let you finish up the show.
Yes. First name is Stavros Vasiliadis. The name of my place is called Bodega on 1223 Walnut Street. I want to thank you, Joe, and I want to thank you, Joe. Moreover, I want to thank Brian Fritz for being there for me and for being there for the restaurants, the restaurateurs in general. And I think we're going to get this done. We need to get this thing done.
You're in great hands with Brian.
Absolutely.
Fritz. Fritz, yes. And B. and Cooley is the name of Brian's firm. Brian, thank you for doing the show, and more importantly than doing the radio show, for taking up the cause, for taking the lead.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. J-Doc, I appreciate you hustling around today to be able to pull this show together. That's going to do it for hour number one of the Labor Show here on Talk Radio 1210. On behalf of Steve, on behalf of Brian, on behalf of J-Doc, and all of the restaurant owners around the Delaware Valley.
And the employees.
Well done. Thank you. Believe in hope. Believe in Brian Fritz. See you next time, everybody.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show have been sponsored by Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, CWA, Communications Workers of America, and AFSCME Local 1739, DC 47. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.